Our scripture this morning comes from Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, beginning with verse 14 through 16, just 14, 15, and 16. The righteous branch and the covenant with David, the righteous branch, that sprig that shall come. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise that I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. And in those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of God this day for us, His children. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank You, Lord, for Your word this day, and we just ask, Lord, Your blessings upon the time that is at hand, that You just ever hold us close to lead and guide us in all that we do and prepare our hearts and our minds for this moment right now. Be with us now, Lord. May my words be pleasing this day in Your sight. For it is in Your Son's great and holy name I pray. Amen. How many of you have got your Christmas shopping done? How many of you have started? Some's finished, some started, some says, well, it's not Christmas Eve. Those people scare me, but anyway. People are always doing something. There's pre-Christmas sales. We've been having pre-Christmas sales for how long now? For months. I mean, it's been going on for 6 months. People, I mean, it's been silly. Before anything, before Halloween, before Thanksgiving, before anything can get finished, we're selling. We've allowed what they now call Black Friday, which never existed when I was a kid. I don't know what Black Friday was. Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, for the biggest sale. But what have they done now? They moved everything back, and now it starts on Thanksgiving Day. So it just trying to get people. And, of course, guess what they do? They do get people. You see the silliness that goes on. People are running around acting crazy, beating people up over baby dolls and all kinds of stuff. I mean, just silly stuff. But people, there's always a pre-Christmas sale. But this morning, our pre-Christmas sale today is hope. Hope. The season of Advent is a season of hope. Something is dawning on the horizon of our lives. We can see it. The very meaning of the season is about something or someone that is coming. The word Advent today comes from the word Adventus, which is a Latin word, and it literally means coming. Someone's coming. You anticipate something, that you're waiting for someone to come see you. In this season of Advent, the church lifts its collective head and squints towards the horizon. It looks out. It's waiting for something. We take a long view, turning our gaze toward that which is approaching, that which is yet to be. And on this first Sunday of Advent, our view may be a little cloudy. I thought about that this morning when I looked out. Did you look out this morning? It was kind of cloudy. It was very over hazy, foggy. It was just there. The horizon is far away. And although we can see that something is happening, we cannot quite make out what it is yet. You see, to discern what is approaching, we listen to the words of the prophet Jeremiah. His words excite us because he promises us salvation. In those days, he says, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. He tells us that in verse 15. The name of this thing that is approaching, the name of this approaching one is righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. So in Advent, the church proclaims the approaching righteousness of God. It is a crucial proclamation because it is a real source of hope. The world, our lives, our days cannot live without hope. Anticipating what God is going to do energizes us for faithful and fruitful living. Ironically, today we anticipate the future by remembering the past. We remember the glory days of Israel under King David's leadership. We strain forward in order to see a righteous branch spring forth. But this is a particular kind of remembering. In this season, we do not remember that which has happened in the past in a historic sense. We remember it in a way that changes us. We look back. It is the memory of a loved one's kiss. It is the memory of a child returning home after too long of an absence. It is the memory of the words of forgiveness for something that was done wrong to us. You see, the power of this kind of memory can make us cry, it can make us laugh, it can even make us feel contentment. It is a memory that never grows old. We tell stories of it again and again because each time we tell that story, we experience the power of the memory in our lives. You think about it. When you remember things that have happened in your life, they bring joy. They bring tears. They bring contentment. They bring peace. We can do that when we look back, when we think back of things. People, we can see things, we can smell things, we can hear things, and they bring back memories. There are things for sometimes that I can, you know, walk in people's houses or you smell a particular something and you say, it reminds me of something at my grandma's house. It reminds me of something that you hadn't thought about in years. But you remember that moment of who those people were at that particular time, at that particular place, and what it was like. It brings back a good thing. And I hope and pray that it does. But there's sometimes when those memories are not so good. They bring back painful things. They bring back things that cause us to not be so happy. But also we find that when we look back and when we think back, we have power. Power of the thing that is yet to come. Power of that hope. Power of that righteous one that is going to be there for us. So we tell those stories again and again. We sing a hymn that says, I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. Every time I tell it, it gets more wonderful to tell. It's more wonderful. It's more pleasing. It's just fantastic. Because every time I tell it, what does it do? It brings back memories. It brings me closer. It brings me back closer to that one which I love, which is the Lord. Every time we do that, we tell the stories of old. We tell the Lord's story over and over again. And every year this season of Advent calls the community of faith to prepare for the visit of God's salvation. Our work is to anticipate that which God will bring to fulfillment to all people. We are preparing for the event that will happen in a stable at Bethlehem, which brings together the hopes and fears of all the years, which we sing in a hymn that we sing at Christmas. We usually sing it on Christmas Eve. It's called, O Little Town of Bethlehem. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. They state it so beautifully. Our hopes and our fears are right there in that small child that comes. You see, hope is never cheap. It demands the great energy of our faith. This is true because we need hope when we face desperate circumstances in our lives. Jeremiah draws on the deep energy of his faith as he proclaims that in verse 14a, the days are coming, the days are preparing, we're getting ready for. You see, it must have been a difficult ministry because he was speaking to people who had lost their hope. Have you ever been somewhere and been with a group of people who were hopeless and helpless? And you felt like what you were saying and doing was just falling on deaf ears? And you thought, what can I do anything to make anybody understand? Is there anything that I can do to make them listen, to truly hear it with their ears and with their heart, to make them understand, to find that peace, to find that hope? You see, that's what is happening here today. Exiles, they were in a very strange land, do not find hope easily. And people are exiles in many places that they are today. They don't have to be thousands of miles from home. They can be in their own home, in their own community, and they can still be in a strange land because of the circumstances that surround their life. So we have to be cognizant of that fact. We have to know it. We have to think about it. We have to remember. We have to find our own hope. And we have to say, what can I do something to help this person? What can I do? You see, into this condition of lostness, the prophet dares to speak his word of hopeful news that will come to pass because of God's salvation. The hopeful newness is something that's coming, something that is yet to come. Like Jeremiah, the church must draw on its energy of faith as it offers the world a vision of the newness that God brings in the birth of the Christ child. The proclamation must be bold so that our anticipation can be without hesitation, so that we will not be hesitant, that we will be ready to receive. You see, the days are coming, and we must make ready. So we need to lift up our heads. Let your hearts be strengthened. God is doing a new thing, and to us has come the joyous and holy task of helping the world get ready for the most blessed event that we can ever find in history. It is happening. It is here. And it is your job and it is my job as those who say we believe and those who say we know to yet again help prepare people for that which is to come. So I ask you this morning to do what it says, to lift up your heads. Let your hearts be strengthened. Let them know what it is. Let them be full of joy, full of compassion, full of understanding. Because God is doing a new thing. And to us has come that joyous and holy task of helping the world get ready for that most blessed event, the birth of our Savior. Let us pray. Lord, I do thank you this day for who you are in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you, Lord, for your compassion. And I thank you for your hope that only comes by knowing you. I ask, Lord, this day that you just open up our hearts and our minds as we leave this place this day, as we come to your table, as we take that into the world, and as we share it, to let us lift our heads up high, to let us find strength within our own selves so that our hearts will be joyous and that we can share that good news with those around us and to say, hey, are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you truly enjoying the moment? Are you truly gleaning from God's Word each and every day that which is the most and the best? Is your heart and your soul growing closer to Him? There are things, Lord, that we can all do to prepare our hearts and our minds to once again receive you into this world. So allow us this day your mercy. Allow us this day your peace. For it is in your Son's great and holy name I pray. Amen. Our hymn for communion is hymn number 6.